Amen. Let's read in the book of Jeremiah tonight. Jeremiah, the first chapter. Jeremiah, the first chapter. We'll read down through about verse number 10, I think it is. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 10. I've got to get back to the right place here. You'd think with all these ribbons I have in my Bible, I could find it. Jeremiah chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. Does that sound familiar? In the days of Josiah. We talked about the days of Josiah a little bit this morning. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord. Now, Jeremiah is giving an introduction to his own life and his ministry. And he's saying, this is how it started. This is how it all got started. He said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He was probably in his early 20s, maybe late teens, somewhere, depending what commentator that you read, he was somewhere between the ages of 17 and 22. That's what most believe. So when he said, I'm just a child, he was saying, I'm too young for this job. I'm too young to take on this responsibility. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Quite a calling that Jeremiah had. Quite a responsibility that he had. So tonight I want to just take a few minutes just to say from this text and give you this as the topic, God has a job for you. God has a job for you, and you must not decline. You must not decline. You must heed the call. You must do what he's asking you to do. Now, that last verse describes the big things, I guess we would say, the big things that Jeremiah accomplished in his ministry. Jeremiah was tough. He dealt very severely with them and pronouncing judgment upon Judah and Israel. But he did it with tears. Thus, he's called the weeping prophet. He was forceful. He was strong in his message. He dealt with them with severity, but also with compassion and with tears. That was the call that Jeremiah had. But he got his early days of preparation. In that last verse that we read, it talked about that he was going to be set over nations. He was going to have a national impact over kingdoms to root out, to pull down. I mean, his ministry was going to be so mighty and so powerful that it was going to have an international impact. That was the kind of person that he was. But we have to back up to the very beginning when he's very young. And where he got, I guess you might say, where he cut his teeth And those first three verses that we read there describes, you see, we talked this morning about the prophet Habakkuk, and he was a contemporary with Jeremiah. So Jeremiah was a prophet who very likely, most believe, that Jeremiah was an influencer in the king's court when Josiah came to the throne at age 8. Now, you can just imagine what was happening. Here's a kid that gets placed on the throne with great power and authority, and he's just a kid. And he's in that place, and his previous influences in his life, his father and his grandfather, his father was Ammon, and he was wicked and evil and did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. His grandfather was Manasseh, and he was even more wicked and evil, and he practiced idolatry. As a matter of fact, he brought idols right into the temple, right into the house of God. He so defiled the house of God. He was such a vile and a wicked king that most believe that about 20-some years before Jeremiah steps on the scene, that before him was Isaiah, and Isaiah, that this prophet or this king Manasseh is likely the one that took his life, that killed Isaiah. He was so wicked. Most believe that he sawn him asunder, that he completely just sawed him in half and killed him because he didn't want to hear any more of what Isaiah had to say. And he didn't want to hear it. So he was wicked and evil. 2 Kings 21 and verse 9, it says, "But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel." This guy was really wicked. Manasseh was so wicked that he led the people into wickedness, and he took pleasure in leading them into wickedness. Verse 16 of 2 Kings 21 and 16. "Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other." This is one of the most vile kings that Judah ever had, and he was Josiah's grandfather. Now, fathers and grandfathers are influencers, are they not? They're influencers. But somehow Josiah, at 8 years old, is placed on the throne when his father is killed. He's placed on the throne, and there was a span of about 8 years before he did anything. But at age 16, he started to tear down idols. He started to cut down the groves. He started clearing out idolatry in the nation. And so there was an 8-year span of time from the time he was 8 years old till he was 16 that most believe that he was being influenced by some godly, righteous people, probably Jeremiah, from what we can read there in those first few verses, that the word of the Lord came to him, came to Jeremiah in the days of Josiah. And so the Lord raised him up. And his first job before he shook kingdoms, before he was an international influence as a prophet of God, the first thing that he did was he likely was influencing young King Josiah. He was probably the spiritual influence in his life because his father, Manasseh, was wicked and evil. And his own father, who was very young when he came to the throne, but it says in 2 Kings 21 and 20, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. He walked in all the ways that his father walked in and served the idols that his father served and worshiped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and he walked not in the way of the Lord. So his father and his grandfather, who would have been probably the most influential people in his life, but when he stepped to the throne, God had ordained and already made a plan for Jeremiah when Jeremiah would finally say, "Yes, Lord, I'll take that job. Yes, Lord, I'll do what you're asking me to do. Yes, Lord, I'll be willing to do what you're calling me to do. So it's very likely that it was Jeremiah who was the influencer in his life. Maybe Habakkuk as well, and maybe other prophets were the influencers in his life. Thank God that when God said, Jeremiah, I'm calling you. Jeremiah, I'm going to put my hand on you. I'm going to use you. Thank God that he didn't say no. Because the greatest revival, one of the greatest and the last revival in Judah before the captivity, was the revival under Josiah. A wonderful move of God. And God was glorified and honored. And no doubt it was the influence of these prophets of God upon the heart of young Josiah, who was young and was tender, and he turned away from all that his father and his grandfather had done, and he decided, I'm going to take a different pathway. Somebody had to influence him to do that, and it was likely Jeremiah. Amen. So thank God that Jeremiah responded to the voice of the Lord. And it says that Jeremiah said, by way of introducing his early days of ministry, he just said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. You see, the pro-choice people, they believe in life after the birth. Amen. The pro-life folks, they believe in that life begins at conception. But some of us who want to be people of faith and believers who understand the plan of God and the purpose of God in our lives, then we can be like Jeremiah, and we can believe that your life was precious and that you can be called of God and used of God even before you were conceived. That's what it says, that Jeremiah was called of God. He said, I formed thee. Before I formed thee, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, folks, I believe that God has a job, and he created you for that task and that work and that ministry, and you need to say yes to the Lord. And incidentally, Josiah was young, and so all of you young people, don't think, well, it's for those that are older and those that, have more experience. Oh no, God is looking for young people. He's looking for young folks as well. He can use the young. He can use whatever age group, the older as well. He can use you. And he has a job for you to do. And your and that calling and that responsibility, that job that he has for you could have great eternal impact. Amen. When you say yes to the Lord, then the Lord can work in your life even when you're very, very young. He could, when you are willing to say yes to the Lord, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Now you notice that Jeremiah, first of all, said, Lord, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I'm a child. So excuses. I'm young. I can't speak. I can't do this job. I know that the job of a prophet is to be a mouthpiece for God, and I can't do it. I'm young. I'm inexperienced. I can't do this job. I'm glad that it was the Lord that just spoke very directly to him. It said, don't say that. Amen. Amen. He said, I can't speak, for I am a child. And the Lord said, say not, I am a child. Don't say that. And I don't know if he said it this way or not, but I just kind of imagine that the Lord may have said, it's not in the text, I'm just making this up, but maybe he said, don't ever say that again. Don't ever say that again. I've called you. I've called you before you ever conceived in your mother's womb. I called you. I gave you a job. I gave you a task. I've given you a purpose for your life, and you need to fulfill that. With all of your heart. Amen. Young people, there are a lot of temptations about your life and your future. What's up next? What am I going to do next? And you can make decisions while you're very, very young that can set the course of your whole life and your future. I don't know who came up with this, but I think it was James Dobson. between the ages of 16 and 26, the most crucial decade of anyone's life, that during that time they're making decisions about their future, where they're going to go to school, what kind of career they're going to be involved in. They're making decisions sometimes about their lifetime mate. And a lot of things are being decided during that span of time. And it may be that some of you here tonight, that the Lord is putting his hand upon you and say, I've got a job for you to do. I've got a job for you to do, and you need to listen to my voice. Amen. It may be hard. It may be challenging. And like Jeremiah, you might be saying, oh, Lord, excuses. One of my jobs this week, one night, was to help Asher with his homework. Now, I know enough about, he's in pace work. I know enough about pace work that if you've got 10 pages of work and homework, you didn't work at school. You did not work at school. So I told him that. I said, why do you have 10 pages of homework? Oh, and he just, I didn't have time. And one excuse after another. He is a master of excuses. I didn't feel right. I didn't feel good. Or I couldn't understand it. Or just one excuse after another. I said, Asher, you got 10 pages of homework. That tells me you didn't do anything at school. Yes, I did. I worked. Oh, and we had chapel, or we had this, or we did that, and I didn't have time to do it. Excuses. He's just a little kid, but man, is he good at his excuses. But I would say that a lot of us, we've got a lot of good excuses too. When the Lord puts his hand on you and says, I want you to do this job, and you are saying, oh, Lord, not me. I can't do that job. That's just not me. That's not my personality. I don't have that ability to do that. I just can't do it. But when God puts his hand upon your life and he calls you and says, I've got a job for you to do, and we understand that God has a purpose, and that purpose was set in order even before you were born. Amen. Praise God. That God has a task and a calling and a purpose for you. Amen. He was young. He said, I'm too young. And we're all too prone to excuses whenever we don't weigh the consequences or the seriousness. Thank God that finally Jeremiah said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. It shifted the kingdom as he influenced Josiah. It affected the kingdom and the revival that was to come. Just because he may have become a tutor or an influencer or a person in his life that was telling him. It says that he walked in the ways, instead of the ways of his own father and grandfather, it says that he walked in the ways of his father, David. So how did he know about David? I think Jeremiah probably gave him some good nighttime stories. He's just a little 8-year-old kid. Let me tell you about David. Let me tell you about him. And he explained to him and talked to him about the life and the reign of David and his heart after God, and how that God called him and anointed him to be king of Israel, and all the things that he went through. And Josiah, instead of following his father and his grandfather, he followed after David. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God that there were influencers in our lives. Amen. I thank God for people that God put in my life when I was a young person. Most of you know that my dad wasn't a Christian. My mom was. But there were people all along the way in my life that they would speak into my life and they would influence my life. They would talk to me about the Lord. They would talk to me about the call of God. They would talk to me about the word of the Lord. There was choir directors in our church and youth leaders in our church and pastors in my church. And they influenced my life. They set the course for my life. Do you know that God is looking for influencers? That you'd take a little time and invest in some people. Invest in some young people. Invest in some young men and young women who don't know. They're seeing all the things of the world, and they're being affected by it and influenced by all the things that the world has to offer. What they need is for the young men and young women, and for fathers and mothers to step out and to start
ministering to them and encouraging them and pointing them in the ways of the Lord. So after 8 years, Jeremiah had invested, maybe Habakkuk as well, had invested in Josiah. When he turned 16, he said, I'm going to do something about this idolatry. I'm going to do something about this wickedness that's just filled our city and filled our nation. I'm going to do something about it. And he starts then at the young age of 16 to start making a mark in his city and his nation by his willingness to cut down the groves and to just run out the idol worshipers and to destroy all of that. 16 years old, somehow, during that span of years, as he was maturing and growing, there were enough influencers for righteousness' sake that Josiah had the courage to do what was right. Amen. And over that 8-year period then, the next 8 years after that, then he starts cleaning out the temple. And he wants to restore worship in Jerusalem. Worship to the true and the living God. And in the process of that cleansing of the temple, you remember the story, we mentioned it this morning, that the law of God was found. The law of God was found and brought to him and was read to him. And he was so stirred and convicted that he rent his clothes, and a national revival came. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we can back it all up and say all that great revival under Josiah happened because, and he reigned for 30 some years, and there was a wonderful move of God, a return to righteousness and a return to righteous worship of God. And it happened because Jeremiah said, yes, okay, I'll take that job. I'll do that job. Amen. You know, a lot of us never realized how much of an impact that James Parker had on a lot of people. But after he passed away, we started getting testimonies from a lot of people who said he was the friendly face when we walked in the door. And we didn't know anybody else, but he was the influencer there at that front door with a smile, with a handshake, and a willingness to park cars and do whatever. Well, there's a job opening still yet for that job at the front door. Amen. And it may be that God has just so prepared you and called you to do a job like that. Brother Parker's already went on to heaven. He's enjoying his wonderful reward in heaven. But there's a job opening back there at that front door where you can fulfill the call of God. You say, well, that's not that great of a job. That's not that important of a job. Oh, yes, it is. It's an important job. It's an important responsibility to care about people, to show and express the love of God to people as they walk in the door. It means a lot. It means a lot. It does make an impact upon the lives of a lot of people. So why not fulfill the call of God and do what you can do? Amen. God's not interested in your excuses. He's looking for willing hearts. He's looking for people that are available, men and women of God that are available to God. No matter what the task is, no matter if it seems like a lowly task, it doesn't matter. I would say that Jeremiah could have said, oh, if I'm going to be a prophet, I don't want to have to just mess around with this kid all the time. I don't want to do that job. If I'm a prophet, I don't want to be babysitting this child. But he took it seriously. Evidently, he invested enough in him that a national revival came as the result of that. So do the job, even if it seems like a menial task. Even if it seems like that it's not that big of an opportunity. Sometimes I know some of you that work with children. And, you know, it's a challenge to work with children in Sunday school. It's a challenge to work with children on the bus route. It's challenging. You wonder, am I getting anywhere? Am I making a difference in their life? I believe that you can. I believe that you can. You can be that person that influences the child, that causes them to have an interest in the things of God, that stirs their heart toward the work of God and the things of God. Amen. I believe our children should grow up in our church, and they're looking forward to the day when they can start doing some things in church that they couldn't do when they were a little bit younger. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That means when you turn about 12 years old, you can sing in the choir. And you should. And no excuses are allowed. Amen. Just get busy for the Lord. The lowly tasks, the menial tasks, they may not seem important, but God uses even the weak and the base. It says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Praise God. God has a job for you. And you may not think that it's all that important, but God says, if I call you to this like I did Jeremiah, then I have a purpose for your life. I have a calling for your life. He said, I knew thee. I sanctified thee, or I set you apart for this task. I ordained thee. I touched your life with the power of God, the anointing. I've ordained thee. I'm going to send you forth. I'm going to command you to go forth. Don't be afraid of their faces, he said. Don't be afraid. Jeremiah was having a little problem with, you know, fear, intimidation, wondering, I can't do this job. I just can't do this job. He said, don't be afraid of their faces. That's a little humorous to me. If you've ever stood up here in the pulpit and looked out over the audience, then it can really be humorous sometimes. You see all kinds of faces when you look out. You see sad faces, happy faces. You see people interested and others disinterested. Amen. All kinds of faces. He said, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't let that intimidate you. Don't be afraid. But instead, do what I'm calling you to do. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Amen. Do the job. Get the job done. Amen. Amen. Get it done. Say yes to the Lord. Okay, Lord, I'll take that job. I'll do what you're asking me to do. And he's promised to be with you. Now, because he said yes to the Lord, and because he took the menial task of, you know, babysitting the young king, because he was willing to do that, then the Lord had promised him, I'm going to set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. That was really a little short description of Jeremiah's life and ministry. I'm telling you, it was tough. He was mistreated. He was abused. He faced all kinds of persecution, all kinds of trouble in his life. But God called him to it, and he said, I'm gonna put my hand on you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to help you through this. And he shook that nation. He shook that nation and dealt with them according to their sin. Amen. But it started with his willingness to do the job that maybe others didn't want to do. Watch over the little king kid. He took it seriously, and he invested in that young child. So much so that he ignored the ways of his father, and he ignored the ways of his grandfather, and he listened to the voice of God. Amen. And as a result, this great revival under Josiah took place in Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand that if you will say yes to the Lord for whatever calling or whatever task that it might be, that you could be the vessel that God uses to prepare the church for revival? Amen. God could use you if you'll say yes to the Lord, if you'll be willing to do what he's prepared you and called you and sanctified you and ordained for you to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are still calling. You're still putting your hand upon young and old.
And Lord, I know that there are many, many needs, many, many ministries, great responsibilities, Lord, that you want us to be willing to say yes to you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, speak to the hearts of young folks here in this service tonight. Help them to be willing to say yes to the Lord. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do what you're asking me to do. I'll respond to your call. Hallelujah.